Have you ever wondered where you can go in the Salt Lake Valley to browse one of the largest inventories of books that'll help you defend the Christian faith? The answer is the Utah Christian Research Center, located at 579 West Galena Park Place in Draper, Utah. The center is open Wednesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at UtahChristianResearchCenter.com. UtahChristianResearchCenter.com. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Does the Mormon God really meet church members' weaknesses with mercy? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. This week we are going through a conference message that was given by Bradley R. Wilcox. It was a very popular message. It was titled, Worthiness is Not Flawlessness. And as we go through this conference message, I can see why some Latter-day Saints might be pleased by some of the things that he has said. But then again, if they are pleased, does that mean that they're not pleased with what they've always understood traditional Mormonism to teach? I personally don't think that Bradley Wilcox is teaching a new type of Mormonism. I think he's probably spinning a lot of the old Mormonism and making it more palatable. But in doing so, does he in fact become deceptive? Now, in yesterday's show, we related the portion of his conference message where he talks about this individual that he calls Damon. That's not his real name. Damon, according to Mr. Wilcox, is struggling with the sin of pornography. And he says how Damon would try, but then Damon would slip. The pain of regret became so intense, he harshly judged himself to be unworthy of any kind of grace, forgiveness, or additional chances from God. Why would he feel that way as a member of the LDS Church? Well, in this talk, Wilcox is trying to give the impression that as you are just honest with your sin, that seems to be okay. And he cites how this leader who apparently was counseling this Damon told him that Damon was not a hypocrite because he has a bad habit he's trying to break. This leader said, you are a hypocrite if you hide it, lie about it, or try to convince yourself the church has the problem for maintaining such high standards. Then Brad Wilcox mentions that this leader cited Elder Richard G. Scott, who was a Mormon apostle, who, by the way, is a dead Mormon apostle. He's no longer alive, so here's another case where we have a person speaking in general conference citing someone who has died. The leader quoted Elder Richard G. Scott, who taught, "The Lord sees weaknesses differently than he does rebellion. When the Lord speaks of weaknesses, it is always with mercy." I found that statement to be quite interesting because Richard G. Scott did have a lot of things to say about mercy. But in yesterday's show, I gave this imaginary scenario. Let's say Damon, struggling with pornography, ends up dying while looking at pornography on his computer screen. Would he be qualified for celestial exaltation? Well, Richard G. Scott wouldn't think so, because this is what he said in a conference message that can be found in the Ensign magazine, May 2001, on page 9. Scott said this, "Time and time again at funerals, statements are made that the deceased will inherit all blessings of celestial glory when that individual has in no way qualified by obtaining the necessary ordinances and by keeping the required covenants." That's the key phrase. Keeping the required covenants. Scott said, "That won't happen. Such blessings can only be earned by meeting the Lord's requirements. His mercy does not overcome the requirements of his law. They must be met." In this scenario that I gave, would it seem that this person, Damon, met those requirements while in fact he died participating in a sin that is condemned by the LDS Church? But I mentioned also that Scott had an interesting way of understanding mercy. So let's go and look at a talk that he gave titled "The Atonement Can Secure Your Peace and Happiness." This is found in the Ensign, May 1997, page 53.
His mercy pays our debt to justice when we repent and obey him. Since with even our best efforts to obey his teachings, we will still fall short, because of his grace, we will be saved after all we can do.
Notice the conditions here. His mercy pays our debt to justice when we repent and obey him. Now, in the scenario that I gave, did it sound like Damon, if he dies at a computer looking at pornography, was he doing what was required? Was he obeying God? No, he wasn't. He did fall short, but remember what Scott said. Because of his grace, we will be saved, but how? After all we can do. Now, would Damon be doing all he can do while he is looking at pornography on the computer? Not if 1 Nephi 3:7 is true in the Book of Mormon, because he should have had the ability to not do that. He should have put that behind him if he was truly repentant. But in that same talk, we find Richard G. Scott saying this as well.
The demands of justice for broken law can be satisfied through mercy, earned by your continual repentance and obedience to the laws of God. Such repentance and obedience are absolutely essential for the atonement to work its complete miracle in your life.
Such repentance and obedience are absolutely essential for the atonement to work its complete miracle in your life. Now, folks, don't get me wrong. The reason I give this scenario is because I want you to see the seriousness of it in the context of Mormonism. I'm not saying that as a Christian, you are not to struggle with sin. We will always struggle with sin. That is something that is going to be with us as fallen people for as long as we are alive. But when you say the only way you can hope to receive the mercy of God, which obviously this is what this person Damon is seeking and needs, Mormonism doesn't provide it for him. Even though Brad Wilcox tries to give the impression that it does, because he goes on in that story to say that Damon said, "The only time I had turned to God in the past was to ask for forgiveness, but now I also ask for grace." But notice how grace is understood by Damon. His enabling power. His enabling power to do what? To conquer his sin, to overcome that sin, and to keep all the commandments by what? Truly repenting, forsaking those sins. But Wilcox says, Damon goes on to say, "I had never done that before. These days I spend a lot less time hating myself for what I have done and a lot more time loving Jesus for what he has done." I love that last part. I think that this Damon, if he really wrote that, is getting it. Unfortunately, I think his Mormonism is at some point going to drag him back into what Bunyan called the slough of despond, because Mormonism doesn't really encourage that, even though Wilcox says this in his talk.
This is where we differentiate between what Mormonism teaches and what Christianity teaches as far as what mercy is all about. And we've quoted this before, but I think we need to bring it up again. 13th President Ezra Taft Benson, talking about keeping the covenants and promising to keep all the commandments, he said, "Our agreement to keep all the commandments is our covenant with God. Only as we do this may we deserve his blessings and merit his mercy." Merit his mercy, Bill. That's what Mormonism is about. You have to earn God's favor.
And that's not anything different than what Richard G. Scott said in these quotations that we just gave, and a person that Brad Wilcox felt to name in this talk that he gave. He's citing a deceased leader in his church that taught things that I think maybe some Latter-day Saints listening to Wilcox, they might assume Wilcox doesn't agree with those men. Is that really true? Are we ready to go that far? Or, as I said earlier, is Wilcox just putting a good spin on this? Because the question then becomes, should a Latter-day Saint really disregard what Richard G. Scott said about mercy or what Bruce Hafen said about mercy? Both of them said it has to be earned. And if that's the case, then how can Damon really have this hope that he thinks he has received in light of what these men have taught? Maybe Damon is not aware of what they taught. I don't know. But the fact is, they did teach it. And just because they've passed away, that concept really has not changed when you have Bruce Hafen, a living leader in the church, teaching the same thing. Wilcox goes on in his talk to say, considering how long Damon had struggled, it was unhelpful and unrealistic for parents and leaders assisting him to say never again too quickly or to arbitrarily set some standard of abstinence to be considered worthy. Instead, they started with small, reachable goals. They got rid of the all-or-nothing expectations and focused on incremental growth, which allowed Damon to build on a series of successes instead of failures. He, like the enslaved people of Limhi, learned he could prosper by degrees. I understand using realistic goals, but if you have not reached the point where you're no longer engaged in that sin, will Mormonism save or exalt, I should say, that individual? And how does section 82, verse 7 fit into Brad Wilcox's advice? It reads, "Verily I say unto you, I, the Lord, will not lay any sin to your charge. Go your ways and sin no more, but unto that soul who sinneth shall the former sins return." If Damon dies before overcoming his sin of pornography, does Mormonism allow him to be exalted in the next life?
Paul deals with this issue in Romans chapter 7, where he talks about how he struggles with sin. He says, the good I want to do, no, I do the evil I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin living in me that does it. So he goes on and says, verses 21 and following, I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see a law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. So in Mormonism, you have to basically wage the war and win the war. But that's not what Paul says. Verse 24, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? His answer, verse 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord.
And that's the gospel. That is the New Testament gospel. But does that apply to a person like Damon in this story? Let me just close with this citation from Fourth President Wilford Woodruff. And what is repentance? The forsaking of sin. The man who repents, if he be a swearer, swears no more, or a thief, steals no more. He turns away from all former sins and commits them no more. It is not repentance to say, I repent today and then steal tomorrow. That is the repentance of the world, which is displeasing in the sight of God. We're not saying that a repentant person should not make an effort to get away from their sins. We're not saying that at all. I'm just saying that in the context of Mormonism, if this individual, called Damon in Wilcox's speech, died while still participating in a sin he knows he's guilty of, would he be considered forgiven and would he receive celestial exaltation? I would argue Mormonism says no.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.